All right, so I'm Chris Littleberry, and this is Home Alone with Local Host. It's all about automating home defense. A little bit about me. I'm a senior penetration tester with Knowledge Consulting Group. We're a firm out of DC, and I have to plug, we are hiring, so if you got skills, let us know. And I like building stuff. So a couple of pictures there. It's a Xbox Live controller that did a randomization thing on it so you can do rapid fire, and it wouldn't be detected on Xbox Live because it had a randomizing cadence to it. And yeah, it's cheating. I used it once, and then it just kind of sat on a shelf somewhere. But that was one of my first like roll your own Arduino sort of things. So it was a proof of concept. And then the other picture is swapping out a fifth gear in my car to get better mileage. So pretty much anything I can do like with my hands is fun stuff. So quick disclaimer. During the talk, I'm going to be providing ideas, examples, codes, stuff like that that's worked for me, things that haven't worked, but pretty much just kind of a trial. Good Lord. Pretty much just like a trial and error thing. And afterwards, definitely open to suggestions and questions. In fact, really encourage it. I'd like to hear what other folks have to say. I'm not getting paid to endorse anything, so there's a bunch of off-the-shelf products that I'm going to be talking about that they work well. Some have their strengths and weaknesses, and we'll go over that, but nobody's paying me to be here. I'm definitely not promising an end to burglaries, especially if you live in some real high-risk areas. Sorry, you're screwed, but at least you can, you know, you can try to stack the odds in your favor sort of thing. Definitely not advocating setting up booby traps in your house. This is a big federal no-no. When I was talking about doing this talk, I've had a lot of people approach me and they're like, yeah, you know, I want to, you know, build a moat and like, you know, have a spike pit and stuff. And, you know, it should come flying down with spikes when you open the door a la Home Alone and stuff like that. And I'm like, you'll go to prison. And I'm not advocating that. Please don't do it. Yeah, don't do anything that can result in, you know, hurting other people or property damage. So if something is, you know, doing something to somebody's car or something like that that's on your property or something, just use your head. Don't break shit. And lastly, I'm going to be using a lot of examples from my place, stuff that I've done. Please don't come pen test my home. I would love to talk with folks afterwards and be like, you know, have you thought about this? And be like, wow, I haven't thought about this. Thank you for, you know, let's open up a cool discussion about it instead of just showing up at my place at like 1 a.m, standing over my bed, freaking me out. So, which some of y'all deviant bastards are probably in here that would do such a thing. So, yeah. So. Story starts out once upon a time in South Texas. I was living down in San Antonio. I was living below the poverty line, and they like to have a great like tourism where, you know, they have the Riverwalk. It's a nice place to visit. Like it's a, you know, family affair and everything, and you know, everybody loves it. And before I start completely talking trash, is anybody here from San Antonio?
No, but I'll say it. It sucks.
Thank you. Yeah. So anybody else that is from San Antonio, I'm going to talk shit, so I apologize right now. But I spent about 10 years there, so I feel I'm adequately qualified to do so. So the crime map of San Antonio is just terrible. Their local pastimes are DUIs and home invasions. That's just what they're known for. It's bad. So, yeah, they ranked number 3. I forget what year this was, but they were like the 3rd least safe city in America. And so at the time, I had this little Honda Civic that, and again, audience participation here. Anybody have a Honda Civic or have had a Honda Civic? Yeah. Keep your hands up if it was stolen. You're my people. Okay. So at the time, the 1995 Honda Civic was the most stolen car in America, and I just happened to own the 1995 Honda Civic. It had air conditioning. It got good mileage. I bought it for like $1,500. It got me from work. And like, I mean, that's all I needed, right? And I came out one morning and my doors are unlocked. People had gone through my stuff, but the car was still there. And I was like, yeah, this sucks. I would like to do something about this. Like, I should be able to outsmart them. Like, I'm in IT. Like, I like soldering stuff. There's got to be a way to outsmart them. So I had an idea. So I took the, they have a main fuel relay with them that's up near the kick panel. So you unbolt it, and it's like a 12-pin connector, and you take this thing with you, and the car is just completely immobilized. And I mean, sure, there's a chance that somebody, you know, breaking in is like, oh, gee, I happen to have one of those, and I'm going to look under there. But I rolled the dice. I figured it's a pretty safe bet. And then I also got one of these really cheap alarms that pages you. So, and I hooked it up without sirens, without lights, without anything. Even went in and removed all the relays in it, because they have relays to trigger the lights and the turn signals and things like that. So I removed everything. So all it does is page you. And so it's a bait car, sure. But, it was my bait car, and I wanted to be able to drive to work. And so I kept it that way for, 3 months? And sure enough, it worked. So early one morning, the alarm goes off, and I go running downstairs, and there's two respectable gentlemen going to work on my steering column, and I persuade them to exit out of the vehicle, and one of them runs, and the other one, you know, tries to establish a kind dialogue with me, and I was able to, you know, power persuasion. It's like, you know, maybe you should lay down the ground, and you're just going to wait there for a bit until the cops come. And I was effective in doing so. The cops came out, they arrested him, and it was fantastic. And I was like, you know what? I think it's time to move away from this shithole, because. other neighbors, I have tons of anecdotal evidence that it was a bad place. Case in point, I found this on Reddit here. I found this on Reddit, I think, like a year ago or so. And I saw this picture, and I was like, that looks a lot like my old apartment complex. And sure as shit, it was my old apartment complex. And, somebody got upset, and so they set their ex's car on fire, and it burnt down a few other things, and so it was terrible. So I moved up to a nicer area, and actually this picture is one of the like three times in the history of mankind that it snowed in San Antonio. And by snow, I mean it just like dusted a tiny bit, and people were trying to sled on it, and it's terrible. But anyway, it was a nicer place. So I moved up to the third floor, so I tried to get as high off the ground as possible, because I read that, okay, that's a safer thing to do. So if you, make it more difficult to get into, you know, lock all your exterior doors, even the sliding doors, even if you're up on, you know, the third floor, your balcony, that sort of thing, you're stacking the odds in your favor. I mean, you're not going to keep everybody out, but you're stacking odds in your favor. And so everywhere I looked, there was all these tips from cops, and the number one thing that kept popping up was make your home look occupied. Like, do stuff so that if people are coming by, knocking on your doors, looking in your windows and stuff, make it look like somebody's home. So have lights that come on timers, and leave TVs on, just stuff that makes it look occupied. And you can see all the other stuff, you know, lock your doors, just basic stuff. But so that got me thinking. So everybody's seen the movie Home Alone, right? Yeah. So I steal off of that during this talk just a little bit. So so I thought, okay, I work kind of a weird schedule. I was working at night. I was working during the day sometimes. It's all over the place. But I wanted something that would make the place look just normal all the time. So at the time, the cheapest home automation stuff out there was the X10 hardware, and I'm waiting to hear some groans or anybody. Again, participation. Anybody has done X10 before? Yeah, it's terrible. So it's been around since the late 70s, and it's really cheap hardware. It works off of sending data over your home power line. And the way it does it is it's encoded on 120 kHz carrier, which transmits during the zero crossing. And it sucks so much that it sends the command three times every time it tries to send a command, just because it knows it's not reliable. And but like, if you're in a small apartment complex or something, or you know, an older house where the wiring is not that complex, and it worked. And they had this god awful GUI that you can program in macros and certain things that none of it really worked well. But some of their timers actually had a really cool feature where it was a security feature that you can time it for. Let's say that you want everything to turn on at 5 o'clock every day. So they had a security feature where it would turn on anywhere between, I think, like 4:50 and 5:10. And it would be random every day. And that was the first time I saw anything like that. So I was like, okay, that's, you know, it's a cheesy company and the tech is terrible, but it's doing what I want to do. So eventually, I moved to a house. Excuse me. So I moved to a house. I started doing it with exterior lighting. So I had lights that would come on at different times, you know, at night. Some of them would use photovoltaic sensors, some of them using BX10, but pretty much still, it wasn't anything special. But is this wood? So knock on wood, everything, I mean, I never had any issues. Like it, you know, it seemed to be occupied all the time. Neighbors got broken into, but I didn't have any issues. So. But eventually, I moved away. So I moved back to Colorado after a 10-year hiatus. And I was like, you know, got to set up a new place there. Crime's a lot better there. And I'm going to do it right this time. So again, I'm going to do it right. And of course, I have to advocate, do not set up laser booby traps in your house. It'd be cool as shit, but I mean, yeah. What are they going to do? So my wish list was I wanted efficient lighting. Most of the stuff out there for doing wall switches and lights and things like that, they're all incandescents. So we're all talking about, you know, 60, 80, 100-watt bulbs per can. So, you know, your entire downstairs setup could be drawing, you know, the equivalent of a microwave or something. And that just wasn't cool. So I wanted efficient lighting. I wanted granular control over it. So I wanted to be able to do individual zones, turn things on and off, you know, whenever I choose, have some sort of, you know, centralized way to control it, that sort of thing. Adaptive timing, so have things that it's not always the same schedule with randomization and things. But so again, I wanted it to look like it was lived in as much as possible. And do some geofencing. Anybody done the F-Thin stuff? Hands? No? Okay. So there's some F-Thin geofencing out there that it's supposed to work, and I've read that it's like a 20% success rate. Like, you know, you establish a geofence on your phone, and then you leave, and then, you know, once you leave, then certain actions happen, and it, like, you know, arms your security system, or, you know, turns your lights off and stuff. And so all these reviews I've read, just people leave their house and the lights are just like, yeah, we're just gonna stay on till like 10 at night. So so I wanted to do my own that, like, you know, I had, you know, control over. And yeah, and the big thing is I wanted to be able to do defenses against wireless home automation attacks. So everybody all around for last year's DEF CON. So DEF CON last year, a gentleman did a presentation on the Z-Wave-enabled door locks. Did you guys see those? Yeah. So really quick, and if I'm wrong, yell at me. But so the Z-Wave-enabled door locks, they're encrypted. And instead of breaking the encryption, he just did a replay attack against it. So he didn't have to do anything special. He just was able to replay the exact same thing over RF, and the door lock was like, hey, welcome home, buddy. And and everybody was just, you know, holy shit. And funny anecdote, like a week after that, I had some dude come to my door, like trying to sell that, because like Comcast and a bunch of other places are trying to like build out their home security system and, you know, and have that sort of thing where it's on your smartphone and, you know, it's like, gee, I can look at all these cameras in my house and I know when my kid's coming home and I can spy on my baby at night with infrared cameras and, you know, just straight up Skynet shit, but, you know, they love it. And you know, look, I can open up my garage or I can open up, you know, I can unlock my front door. And that just seemed like a terrible thing to me. So I want to be able to defend against that. And not only that, but if somebody really wants to get in, it's usually just going to be a smash and grab. So if you have, you know, a great alarm system, if you have just, you know, the big giant ADT sign out, you know, prominently displayed in your front yard, just like, you know, please, please don't screw with this house. Like, if they really want to, they're going to do it anyway. I'm sure everybody in this room has friends that, you know, just during the day, people have kicked in their front door, alarm goes off, they grab a handful of stuff and just run. That's just how it is. And so I wanted to be able to do something that would immediately react to that and try to mitigate, you know, what they can carry. So if they kick in the door, alarm goes off and they're freaking out, and then something that they've never seen before happens inside the house that might be like, you know what, maybe we should, you know, GTFO. So that's what I wanted to do. That was my wish list. So one of the first things I did was Wi-Fi enabled light bulbs. Did anybody get in on the LifeX Kickstarter? No? Awesome. So they did a Kickstarter a while back. It took a while for them to ship the bulbs. They had a whole bunch of regulation things to do. But in the grand scheme of things, they're Wi-Fi enabled LED light bulbs. And their big claim to fame is they'll do 1,000 lumens. They are bright as shit. They'll also do full color. Their color representation is fantastic if you're into that. The picture I have there with the blue is my living room, which is two of them up in cans in my ceiling. It's cool. Side note of that is, and I'll talk about it a little bit later, if the alarm goes off, one of the things it can do is the whole house can start flashing red. So, I mean, you know, upstairs, downstairs, like I have an entryway chandelier and everything that's got this shit in it. I mean, the whole damn house will just like, I mean, straight out of Aliens sort of thing, where just everything. If I can rig up a fog machine too. Leave her alone, you bitch. Yeah. So they're great bulbs. They're absolutely great bulbs. At full power, they draw 17 watts. So that fits into, it fits into their, I'm not drawing a ton of power. And you can dim them down. You can do it all through software. They recently released an API. So any Ruby fans out here, anybody that codes in Ruby? Good. No. Anybody that codes in Python? You my people. All right. I'll get to that here in a bit with the open source. But there's several different libraries out there to work with it. The official API for them is in Ruby. It's not that bad to work with. You can port it over to Python. The downside to these bulbs is that they are large. They have some heft to them. So you can't put them in like normal fixtures that sit sideways. They'll like start sagging down. They'll come in contact with the globe. It looks terrible. And they heat up a bit. So you can't enclose them. So the other option is the Philip Hue. Really easy to work with. They have a great API. Their API has Python. So again, the Python people, yeah. Even lower power consumption, 8.5 watts at full brightness. They're a little bit cheaper. The only problem is that their power output is not the same. You put three of them in a fixture and it's gonna be like, you know, 360 watt light bulbs. So it's not bad. It depends on where you want to put them, but it's a good option. And their color representation isn't as good as the LifeX ones. But again, if you're just looking for lighting up a side room, a dining room, or something like that, if you want to be able to control that remotely and still have the thing flash red and just freak the hell out of people, then it's a fantastic choice. Just a couple pictures real quick. This was 4th of July at my place that the camera didn't really do it justice. The purple ones are actually blue, and then the red ones are red, and that was both LifeX and Hue bulbs. And then my living room just messing around, and any Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans out there, that was during my proof of concept.
From a Honda Civic, huh?
What's that?
A long way from a Honda Civic.
We're hiring. So yeah. So a couple other devices are out there. Wemo devices. Show of hands, anybody familiar with those? Yeah? So they had some vulnerabilities that came out last year that really not good, where...
Keep talking.
Fair enough. So they had them come out last year where there was a vulnerability with them, where if they rapidly cycled them, there's a hack where you could rapidly cycle them. If it was hooked up to some sort of ductive load, like a motor or something like that, that initially takes a really large amperage and then settles down.
Are we distracting you?
Yeah.
No, you're just concerning me.
Keep going.
Appreciate it.
All right.
To our first time speaker.
Thank you.
As you were.
Thank you.
You guys walk after 10 o'clock.
We've been doing this for 4 days, three
shots. We don't sleep.
Three talks every hour. I've lost track at this point.
I really want to get me one of those little rascals because, I'm fat and lazy and just seems fantastic. So anyway, the Wemo devices, they had a published exploit out there for them where, like I said, you can rapidly cycle them, and depending on what device is hooked up, it can make them catch fire and burn your house down, which is it's bad. So they have since pushed out a firmware update for them, but... Rumint is that they're still not that secure. So what I've read is lockdown IPv6 on your routers, don't let anything out, and just lock down everything that you have. With that said, they're extremely useful for if you have exterior lighting where you have where the CFL bulbs. So if you have CFL bulbs all around your house, and then you can hook up one of these switches. So you're talking about 20 watts worth of draw all night, and then you can switch it with one of these switches. The problem being is that they have timers built in. So they have their own app, and then they have their own timers built in, both of which just completely suck. Their app is really not reliable, and their timers, while they work sometimes, if you have, your external lights, you want them to turn on at 8 o'clock at night, and you want to keep them on until 6 in the morning. So when it comes up on midnight, they'll shut off for a few seconds. And then midnight, 5 seconds later, they'll come back on. And there's no rhyme or reason for it. So if somebody is, casing your house or whatever, that's a pretty good indicator. So. Terrible security. There's a link to that exploit on there too, and the slides will be available and everything. So needed to create a home defense server. Needed to be available 24/7, low power consumption. Hook it up to an UPS. Integrate with analog and digital sensors, so be able to deploy your own sensor network, and integrate with your existing home security system. So it would be more of a supplement thing. I mean, you can build one on your own and, you know, have it respond and do stuff, but I'm of the mindset where I like to have somebody monitoring that, you know, if they call the cops, cops are going to come out, whereas if, you know, I see something and I get a text message and I'm just like, yeah, hey, I'm Chris, and I built this Rube Goldberg system at my house where all these flags and shit happened, and I swear there's somebody in the house, can you go check it out? And they're going to be like, sir, this is 911, don't ever call back again. So if it supplements your home security system, at least like you have a little bit of clout to that. And you can integrate in, I think I have it a couple slides down on how to integrate it in. But again, the Raspberry Pi was a great choice. Again, how many people mess with Raspberry Pi? They're fantastic. They're just, they're wonderful. Had a little experience with Pis before. I built a Wi-Fi enabled barbecue smoker. Just because, shit, I don't know if I could. So I got some meat probes and then a probe for a GE oven that I found, because like all the other thermoprobes I can find would just completely, you know, melt and be worthless after I think like 240 degrees. So I found one that was good for like 400 and mounted that in there, run it through a 10-bit ADC, and then ran it off of the Pi, put a Rails server on there. What's that? Sorry, I thought I heard his question. Sorry, ADD. And so I put a Rails server on the front end because I had some Rails experience at the time and I just didn't know any better. So again, any Rails coders here? Good, good. But it worked, and it was one of those proof of concepts where it's like I could build, you know, not only, you know, the sensor portion of it, but I can have a front end writing on the exact same piece of hardware, have it all self-contained, have it on wireless, and just do fun stuff with it. So, creating the home defense server. Anybody familiar with wiring in just regular home security systems, where you have like the long line of sensors and everything has to be closed and everything for it to be okay? And yeah. So there's two different ways of doing it. You can have like a normally closed loop or normally open, and either way, most of the newer ones, you can program them to do either way. So stick a Pi online with that and put it in the mix, and either put a relay in or a transistor or however you want to wire it in, and have it connected to its own network. So let's say that you have your own PIR sensor, so your own motion sensor, or your own, you know, what have you, something's gonna happen, that you can then send a signal to that Pi, it can trip it, and then fire off the security system. Another thing you can do is they have little panic buttons, the wireless panic buttons. You can take one of those apart and solder onto the leads of that, and then just run transistor over that, and something happens, then you can hit that. And then when it goes into the alarm company, it's gonna come in as a silent alarm, instead of a, you know, oh, there's a motion somewhere, or you know a door opened or something like that. It's going to come straight across as like, you know, silent alarm, old Betsy fell down, or old Betsy is being, you know, robbed by hoodlums, whatever. We should probably get out there. I don't know, that was my thinking. But so there's a lot of ways to graft it in, and again, I highly recommend grafting it into an existing alarm system. So to bring it all together, there's a lot of open source code out there for all these different techs. So Magic Monkey did the original reversing of LifeX protocol for the big giant LED bulbs, and great tool. The only thing is it wouldn't do multiple bulbs at a time. So if you want to flash your entire downstairs red, it would be like one bulb, one bulb, one bulb, one bulb, but then sometimes one of them wouldn't respond, and it just kind of sucked. He was the JavaScript version of that. And then Sharp did the LifeX Python, which was built off of that library. Later on in of this year, actually, LifeX finally came out with their official API, which is written in Ruby, which we've all been over this. So you can make it work. It's a good API. I have this thing against Ruby. And I can't pronounce this guy's name or the project name, but they have an API for the Wemos devices. And it works just fantastic. So not only do they have code support, but they have command line support. and it's great stuff. So you can control all these things just from command line or different scripts. So from there, I created a front-end service where I wanted something lightweight to control the stuff and just kind of have a front-end. You can do Rails. Rails sucks. It's heavy. Python has Flask. It's a great front-end. Ruby has Sinatra. It's pretty much the exact same thing, only it's written in Ruby. And as we have been over before, Ruby's terrible. And then I've created back-end services for each of the techs being used, and they're their own services, and they're on their own ports. So if one of them fails, then just that service fails, and so I don't lose everything in the house, sort of thing. And then also I wanted to have a database to keep track of it all, and I ended up putting up that database on a separate Pi, and I used a Redis database, which is really lightweight, really fast, and I mean, it's not that complicated. I wasn't looking for, you know, giant enterprise level stuff. I just wanted something quick. So I put one on a separate Pi that was in a different room and had a couple sensors on it, but nothing really taxing. If you end up going that route, highly recommend you put external swap on a traditional hard drive. So get a powered USB hub and put a hard drive on it and set up swap. Because otherwise, even if you have, you know, a great SD card in that Pi, if you look at the logs, it's going to be sitting there just swapping out all the time, and all those read-write cycles are just they're hell on those cards. So, and then finally, create a monitoring service with alerts, and when the services go down, be nice to know about it. So, and again, all the code that I've been talking about here is going to be available on my GitHub after the conference. I'm going to do a disclaimer right now that my code is terrible. I'm not a developer. Again, I'm a pen tester. So my code works. It's not pretty. And for the ones that are professional devs and they like nice, clean, polished code, it may be offensive to you. So just, but it works. So moving on, I wanted to be able to determine if I'm walking into a room and things happen. Like I want my place to know if I'm there or not. So originally what I wanted to do was do Bluetooth. So I wanted to pair to my phone and know that if I'm walking into a room, that it's gonna see my phone and be like, oh, okay, he's here. And then, you know, whatever else happens, update it in the database that I'm there, so certain other things that are going on will know to look for me there and that sort of thing. So I played around with it, and it was kind of a pain in the ass because you have to create a connection, you have to open up a connection with it, so you have to pull the device after it's been paired. While it's being pulled, then you have to do the request for the RSSI, so the signal strength identifier. So you do that, so you pull it, and while it's being pulled, say, oh, by the way, what's the signal strength? It'll come back with a number, and then from there you can say, okay, you know, the phone is within this amount of distance. And you put a couple of those in different rooms, and then you can determine where something is. The problem is that if you get a little too aggressive with that, it will brick your wireless interface on your phone. So not just Bluetooth, but just regular 802.11 as well. And that was a fun one to find out when I was debugging this, but it worked for a bit. So from there, I went to try to do it with 802.11. So as everybody knows, your phones will beacon out 802.11 beacons every 60 seconds if you're not doing anything. But as soon as you turn them on and start doing stuff, it's your MAC address is going to be all over the place. So. There's some command line utilities where you can go through and parse out what MAC is being seen and what signal strength it is. So if you have neighbors and stuff that you don't care about, they're going to be lower signal strength, and you can grep that out or what have you. But if you have a certain set that you want to keep track of, so let's say your significant other, kids, whatever, like you can have a list of things that it'll look for. If you're really curious about it, do that T-chart command on the very bottom, and it'll bust out just way more information than you'll ever want to know about wireless packets, and you can just do all sorts of magic with it. I ended up doing it the Python way with Scapy, and it's ugly. It's very, very ugly, but it works. And So what I have it doing is I have a flat file of MAC addresses that I want to keep track of. And so it fires up and starts looking for those. Whenever it sees it, it updates a the Redis database that, okay, it's been seen, and then at what time it's been seen. And then I have a separate process that goes through the database to look at those timestamps, and if it's outside of a certain time, then okay, it hasn't been seen in this amount of time, so then I'm not there. Other rules now apply. So lights are going to be turning off, at these predetermined times, they're still within random windows and that sort of thing. So that way, it knows if I'm home, so I'm not sitting there watching TV with, you know, lights and stuff on, and I'm in the middle of something, and then just my whole living room goes dark, and, you know, it's just, ruins the mood, right? So again, proximity monitoring, looks for mobile phone max, calculates signal strength. Yeah, I just went over all that, actually. Adaptive scheduling. So I created a smart cron system where, everybody familiar with Weather Underground? Everybody used that before? So they have a fantastic API that's free for developers that every day at 1 o'clock, my system will pull down what the solar schedule is for the day. So it'll pull down what the sunrise, sunset, and that sort of thing is. And from there, it'll block off randomized times of, okay, I want to turn off my outside lights sometime around sunrise, turn off or turn them on somewhere around sunset, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And it basically shifts every day. And then there's also things built in where towards the end of the day, it'll take a look at cloud cover and UV index and stuff, and then kind of move some interior lights up depending on if it's dark out and things like that. So again, I have all the code that's going to be on GitHub. So for the fun stuff, defenses against wireless base attacks. Again, y'all saw the Z-Wave attack last year. Did anybody go to the fox hunting thing on Thursday? It was like really early on Thursday. I went to the Rapid 7 party before on Wednesday night, and I just was not able to get here, so no. So fox hunting is RF direction finding. It's really, really cool stuff. And so the only way I could think of to defend against these sort of Z-Wave attacks where it's a replay attack, or if it's somebody trying to jam 345 meg wireless sensor data for some of the newer alarm systems that use those, is to be able to determine if somebody's transmitting on the band and where they're transmitting from. And is anybody familiar with the Doppler effect? So for the ones that aren't, ambulance goes by, high pitch as it's coming, and then regular pitch as it goes by, and then lower pitch as it goes by. Same thing will happen with RF. So you have a phased antenna array, and you have a signal come in, you switch through it fast enough, you can get a pretty good idea as to where it's coming from. And so I have a setup that works against 345N, 900 megs. And so if anything does key up and it is outside of a certain parameters for where it's located, I have it actually set past my front door a little bit. So anything that's outside of my house, it's going to pick up on. And the way it does that is it uses the Agrillo DF message format. And whereas it's bearing and then signal quality, the system I'm using is called the PicoDop, and it's just fixed at 7 for the signal quality, but I really don't care. I just want to know where it is. So the text there you see is an actual output from a test I was doing, and those 327, 316, 312, 319, those are all numerical bearings off of the antenna array of where the signal's coming from. So like I was able to sit outside with like a, one of the extra sensors, one of the 345 sensors, sit outside and key it off, and then suddenly the system says, hey, there's something coming from outside, and yeah, that's not kosher. So anyway, you can pipe that into a database as well. You can have that do timestamps on it, so if it's coming in a whole bunch, you'll know somebody is jamming. If it's coming in just once or twice, but it's from outside, you'll know that somebody's trying to do a Z-Wave attack, and I mean, the possibilities are endless. If you put two of these together and then correlate the two, you have real-time triangulation. And So it's fun. And lastly, again, a lot of folks want to just kick in the front door. Alarm goes off. They don't care. They want to steal things. So the best thing you can do is try to make it an inhospitable environment for them. So they want to be quiet. They want to be anonymous. They want to just get in and out and, you know, nothing happened, right? So I talked about earlier on where the whole house will flash red. That's a really good way to do it, especially if it's at night. So just a whole suburban house is just, you know, horrible. You can flash the exterior lights as well. Do something that is going to be electronically activated and do something in a safe way. Again, safe way, nobody wants to be sued. One of the things you can do is hook up like a 12-volt solenoid for like car poppers, like for door locks or for people that shave car handles and stuff like that. They have these real high-powered solenoids that you can, you know, either push-pull with. So have it set up somewhere to knock over something heavy. So, you know, alarm goes off and people come in and then all of a sudden they, you know, something upstairs and that's gonna, okay, you know, the hell was that sort of thing. It'll buy you a few seconds, right? And again, don't create anything that can do harm. With that said, so this is purely theoretical here. I don't want anybody to ever want to do something like this, especially indoors, because it makes fire and shit, and it's bad. So everybody knows, don't do this. Don't build your own fireworks either. You can go buy, you know, firecrackers around 4th of July. They're dirt cheap. Yes, do not break these open. Do not combine them all into something. Don't just, I mean, again, this is Chris Littleberry at DEF CON 2014 saying do not create your own fireworks. So, they make these things for model rockets. I got a good friend of mine, he's huge into model rockets. I was trying to figure out a way to light these things on fire, and he's like, dude, just use a rocket igniter. I was like, tell me more about this. And so this is the middle thing there with the little black and white, and all it is just some wires that come in, and then a really thin wire at the end, and then like a little sparkler material on top of it. And what happens is that you put power into it, it shorts out, it ignites the sparkler bit, and then, it creates fire. And if you have it taped up to a bunch of firecrackers like that, then it'll go boom. For the sake of argument, if I were going to do something like this, I would do them one-on-one. I would have a separate channel for each one. So fire one off individually, so it would be like a bang, 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 bang. So not something that sounds like, you know, the kids from Home Alone put something in a thing and just lit it all on fire. Have it sound something realistic. But inside a closed space, it's going to be stupid loud, and it's going to get a lot of attention, and they're probably going to leave. So again, your mileage may vary. It may be completely illegal. Do it somewhere where it's not going to catch anything on fire. Once these things go off, they fly in the air. I set one off outside just testing this out, and like I found them on the roof of my car. It's loud as shit. And to give you an idea. So that was just 12 volts with just that one strand that that you saw before. And again, you can do that with Pi, with just you know, just a MOSFET, drive a relay, and just apply 12 volts to it, and boom, it goes. So from here, I don't have any Z-Wave integration yet, just because it's not open source and the shit's expensive. I would like to learn to do that. I really want to integrate SDR scanning into the 345 band for all the wireless. The wireless sensors and that sort of thing, to be able to read those on the fly as well and not just the hardline loop stuff. If there's any SDR guys out there that know how to pull information out of a 345 meg AM signal and actually use it, please come talk to me afterwards, because that's something I've been struggling with, and that'd be awesome. And there's also this 345 900 meg separate receiver and transmitter, the 2 gig cells that I wanted to go spend some time at the Hardware Hacking Village to see if I can figure out how that works. That came in like a day before I got on the plane to come here, so I haven't had a chance to play with it yet. And again, I want to hear ideas from you guys. So if you guys have awesome stories of, you know, that don't include digging giant pits with spikes at the bottom and then, you know, harvesting their meat for post-apocalyptic means. No, no. Question?
Someone opens your door. Do you have any way to reset? So shut the door after they leave to hurry?
Shut the door after the...
Yeah, they come in the house, right? Do you have any way to reset the doors? Like, give a 5-minute entry or shut the doors?
No. And that may be a good idea, but that also could be some sort of booby trap, because again, that whole theoretic firework thing, that if somebody were to implement such a thing, not that I would, but if it did, and then the door was shut and they were not able to, you know, have a timely egress outside of the establishment and they were to maybe be burned alive, that would be bad. So... anyway, I'm running out of time. I apologize. Any questions? There's my Twitter, and again, the GitHub will be up there, and email address, and all that. So come find me afterwards.